excited today. More so because I know this is a day of freedom. This is a day of deliverance. This is a day of breakthrough. This is a day of a miracle. This is a day that the Lord gets to draw a line in the sand. This is a day where what used to be can no longer be, and things we've contorted and things we've put up with, things we've struggled and limped way through, God is bringing a change and a transformation in that. That excites me. That really, 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 really excites me. And I feel in coming to church, most of the time when I think about coming to church, it's been like going to my mother's house. Actually, talking to you is like making a phone call to my mother. Each time I make a phone call to my mother, I'll be very happy and delighted I spoke to her, and I'll also be presented with a very long list of needs, of which it's never comfortable making a phone call in knowing she's going to produce a long list of needs that I can't meet. So it's always very confident making a phone call to my mother when I know I've got some money in my pocket. So when she presents this long list of needs, I'll say, "No problem, mother. How much do you need? I'll send it to you actually as soon as I hang up." And when I visit her home, I know I'm going to find difficulties and challenges that they'll be looking up to me to bring the help, the salvation, and the deliverance. So in a way, you can never turn up to my mother's, I can never turn up to my mother's house empty-handed. I can never make a phone call to my mother without anything to present. And you can never turn up to church before God's people without the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to bring deliverance, salvation, and breakthrough. So when I'm beginning to feel the sage and the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit on me, then yeah, we're ready to go to church. Yeah! Because you know, when God is in the house, the devil gotta leave, situations gotta transform and change. How is that? So that's why it's exciting. Did I explain adequately, Marco? Yeah. And what I feel the assignment for me this morning is very simple and straightforward. Because for most of the things that God, we are hoping, expecting, and contending for God to do in our lives, He's already done. Okay, Glenn. Anything and everything you've ever prayed for God to do for you, He already did 2,000 years ago. And the whole point of preaching and teaching and talking, it is to help you realize that you are already where you should be. You just have to realize it and begin to walk like it, sound like it, smell like it, and look like it. So the whole thing in our faith journey is narrowing the discrepancies between where we are and where we need to be. Because God looks at your life, the Bible says God establishes the end from when? The beginning. Which means God sees you already as having achieved, attained the position and the place you should. Does that make sense? How does God see you? He sees you already there. And quickest change of mind and position begins when we begin to see ourselves as there. So in John chapter 3, not John chapter 3, 3 John. I mean, there's a... And then there's a John. So that is 3 John. That is the little John at the back. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. This is a prayer that John prays is very revelatory, encouraging, inspiring, and also challenging at the same time. Are we there? 3 John 1, 2. 3 John 1, 2 says, beloved friend. Isn't that nice to have some beloved friends? Beloved friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way and that you continually enjoy good health. Just as your soul is prospering. What's the prayer? Okay, so there's two things John is praying for his beloved friend. And the heart of prayer reveals issues and things that are important, but also reveals the heart of God for his people. And this gives me confidence as I pray, as I work, as I speak, as I minister, as I speak to God's people, that God has got two wishes among many for his people. And in the ministry and the outworking of the Holy Spirit, there are two outcomes that we need, that you need, that we will be contending and wanting to see in you and through you. Maybe not necessarily in that order as in importance, but the heart of the issue is, the prayer is that you may prosper. The Passion Translation says, in every way. What's the prayer? That you may prosper where? I pray that you may prosper in every way and enjoy good health, even as your soul prospers. This is important. It is big because it reveals the heart of the ministry of Jesus. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth and how he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. For this reason, the Son of Man came that he may destroy the works of the enemy. And we touched on and spoke a lot last Sunday that the power and the anointing of Jesus, or on the life of Jesus, was to intervene in the situations and circumstances and the struggles of his people. Jesus was anointed to intervene in your battles. He was anointed to fight your battles. He was anointed to walk with you and by you. And apparently, this battle extends to every area of your life. The battle extends in your health, to your finances, to your work, to your dog, to your cat. What is the promise? What is the battle declaration in Psalm 91? Nothing shall come near thy dwelling, which means anything and everything that is within the confinements of your dwelling is covered and protected. And that's the concept of how blessed those that bless you. And I'll curse those that curse you. So, can you imagine, really, literally, that God wants you to prosper? What does the word prosper mean? It means to increase, abundance, successful. So the Greek meaning in that statement means that you may have success in every business affair. How about that, Marco? So the elder is praying, I pray that you may have success in every business affair. Why would he pray that you have success in every business affair? Because success and prosperity glorifies God. Poverty doesn't. Good health glorifies God. Sickness doesn't. Okay. 2 Corinthians says, for we do not, our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but are strong and might for the pulling down of every stronghold and thoughts that have raised themselves in opposition to God. What that means is anything that does not glorify God is to war with God, including thought patterns and attitudes that do not line up with the will of God for your life. Does that make sense? What are some of these thought patterns? Poverty mentalities. Unbelief. Fear. These are thought patterns that are opposed to God. And these are the thought patterns the scripture is declaring war against. So really, if we are to align ourselves with scripture and believe God's word as truth, then we'll be wanting to see you prospering in every business affair you undertake, but also you enjoying very, very good health. Now, what's the good news there? The good news is when we are not in good health, we have a defender, a deliverer, and an avenger that fights on our behalf. What does that mean to be Christian? It means upholding the promises of God in your life and in the lives of the people around you. Does that make sense? Which means your mandate as a Christian has to be the mandate that Jesus had. Acts 10:38, destroying the works of the enemy. That means we can believe, we can start believing to see an increase of healing, to see an increase of deliverance, to see an increase of breakthroughs in every area of life. What will be the point of having success in your business affairs if you are not doing well in your health? What will be the point of having the money you can't enjoy? Does that make any sense? So good health and prosperity goes hand in hand. And this is why this guy put them in one breath. I don't think you got me. Good health and prosperity goes hand in hand. God is not expecting you to have one or the other. David says, Lord, don't make me too poor, lest I steal and bring shame to your name. If he gave you health and he gave you prosperity, then you'll be having the prayer David had. If he gave you prosperity and never gave you health, then you'll be spending all your money on doctors. What am I trying to say? Health, good health, is your portion. Good health is your inheritance. In fact, it is the whole reason he hung on the cross, to pay for your health, your prosperity, your deliverance, and your salvation. And what I want to pray for us this morning is to break generational bondages that have held us captive to poverty, to sickness, to disease. Generational assignments that have prevented you from excelling. You know, when you've got generational issues, it's like you're having a bird with a little string tied onto it. It takes off and then goes back to the ground. And I have a sense for some of us, and many of us, we work very hard. Our lives are more encapsulated by almost. You know those almost? I almost got the car. I almost got the house. I almost moved. I almost had the job. I almost. It's just like when you come to a place where you're going to see something happen and some other things just come around and it just doesn't materialize. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, that means there is a spiritual assignment that is undermining what God is wanting to bring in your life. Does that make any sense to anybody? The spiritual assignments at work. Because God's heart for you is to be fruitful. What would be the first assignment of the enemy against you? Is to miscarry, abort what God is seeded in you. Does that make sense? And we just want to contain them, push to bring a breakthrough where you will carry the seed of the promise of God in your life. You will carry it full time and you will see it come to pass. It's a river, you can all jump in at will. We were born for a breakthrough. I'm even getting to a place where I'm even hating the word breakthrough, because it epitomizes that you're always fighting but never winning. Always waiting. The good news is today is the day of salvation. And those of us that have been waiting, we'll wait no longer. That's exciting. That is exciting. So what I want to know was, it's God's will, God's desire for you, that you may prosper in every area of your life. Yes, brother. It's God's desire for you that your business works out. It's God's desire for you that when everybody is losing money in the stock market, you make some money. It's God's desire for you that when everybody is in fear and trepidation because things are going the other way, you see your prospects and your interests go up. Because your ability to prosper and succeed is not based on what people do. It is from God. Remember Deuteronomy 8:18. It is God that gives you the strength to produce wealth. Now, why would he give you the strength to produce wealth if he didn't want you to have any? Does that make sense to anybody? And where has been the problem? Over there, not over here.